just missed the train today. Couldn't believe it. I left at like 5:15 and the train's like 10 minutes away, but I decided to get every red light possible. And then I got there at like 5:35 and train leaves at 5:38. Like exactly, like it always leaves on the dot. So I started running through like little path underground to get there. Finally jumped in the train. Guy's like, okay, final call. I was like, damn.
This is what happens when you live in Barrie, ladies and gentlemen.
Commuter moment.
Yeah.
I must be like the best commuter.
You're the best commuter who almost missed the train.
Yeah, but I didn't miss the train though.
But you almost did.
But if I didn't tell the story, you would never even know.
That's true. I didn't hear about the story before.
As far as you know, I took the train today, casual.
He sprung this on to me. Like, he looked at me before we started and he said, can I start with something completely off topic? And I said, yeah, sure, go for it. And then he sprung that on me.
Exactly. Can't expect it.
So, Austin Matthews is a 50-goal scorer. The first one.
Congratulations, Austin.
Yeah. Great. It's funny. When he scored that, now we're a game behind. On Thursday against the Jets, it looked exactly like his 40th in his rookie year.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that moment to a T, and I just watched it, and I had, like, not insomnia. What's it called? Like, deja vu.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Insomnia.
What is insomnia? I don't even know. I don't know why you can't connect that. Insomnia is like... Sleep deprivation. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That. Okay, I don't know why I said that. But, no, yeah, just that empty netter. Coming as soon as he gets to center ice, pots exact same spot too. I think it was at the same net as well. It was on the net on the left side from the broadcast angle. It's like the exact same goal. I'm gonna pull it up right now because I know
it's crazy that he did like the exact same thing.
It just I don't know. It just kind of like felt like he was like symbolic.
Felt that it was epic. That like when all these cool things happen, it's always connected to someone. So like when Matthews got 50, who assisted it? Mitch Marner. When Crosby got 500, who assisted it? Evgeny Malkin.
You wanna see it? Let me make sure my...
You probably won't hear the sound, though.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you hear some of it.
Yeah, some of it. I got to change it. Well, I don't know if you can play it, though. I don't think we can because it's technically copyright, so I'm just going to remove the sound.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
We'll call it for you. Common ad.
Yeah. But, oh, wait. Oh, no, this is the wrong one. This is last year's 40th.
Oh, man.
So, okay. Well, there you go. Point made. They look like identical goals. And it's because it was against Pittsburgh, because it was after the McElhinney save. That's how I remember it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing
I remember. It was a monumental game in Leaf history, if you actually think about it.
Yeah, but this was the, huge, especially because it was on Crosby, and that was the clinch.
Yeah.
That was such a wild game. I miss those old rookie teams. Now it's just painful.
Nope. Okay, you get these moments of like happiness, yes, but it can't be painful.
Those were all happy, because they had no expectation. Now it's just like, now everyone's sick of them. The baby fat is gone. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares. Yeah, so Austin Matthews is the first 50-goal scorer since the Toronto Maple Leaf 50-goal scorer since Rick Vive. Did you hear about the story? Apparently, Rick Vive is very salty.
Why was it, that he did this?
Yeah, apparently he did not want Matthews to pass him. That's what I heard.
Oh, I thought I heard him kidding around a while ago on
Maybe
the radio.
It was a joke. Maybe he was joking around. But I heard that Rick Vive did not want his record broken.
Oh, that's funny.
And now, I mean, Austin's going to... His record's 54. The franchise record's 54. Austin's going to do that in his sleep. What do you have, like 13, 14 games left?
Yeah.
Something like that?
He would have done it already last year because he had 40, something.
Oh, yeah. Well, he would have done it. He might have had a chance the year before that. Actually, no, they played 70. He had 12 games. He had 12 games. He had like 13 goals. It's not ridiculous for him. It's not the worst thing, but like probably would have scored like 57, 58.
At the least, he should have had two extra 50-goal seasons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. He would have hit 50 last year, and he missed a few games, too, on top of it.
He missed games this year, too.
Yeah, in this year. What did he miss, like four games, five games, three?
Yeah, just three.
Because two were suspension. He only missed one game.
He missed three at the beginning, plus two suspension, five.
Yeah, so five. Yeah, that makes sense. But, yeah, apparently Rick Vive was not too happy. This was before he scored the 50th. Everyone knew he was going to get there. It was kind of obvious.
I mean, when Jets, too. Rip Jesse Pollock.
Yeah. Oh, man, did you see the reaction?
Yeah, it was not hyped.
It was so funny. Jesse's always gives a good reactions. Yeah. But, yeah, so Rick's not going to be very happy in probably by this time next week when Austin scored 54 and he ties him. And then probably the game after that, he'll break it because Austin scores every game because he is Austin Matthews.
Unless he gets a hat trick today against Tampa.
Oh, God. I think we got to get in the conversation of, is Austin Matthews the greatest Leaf? Okay, not yet. He is on pace to be the best Toronto Maple Leaf in front, like the best player in franchise history.
Say so.
It's definitely like, okay, not that there's much competition in terms of like high end talent. Like there's your Matt Sundins, like, you know what I mean? Like there's not, you don't have that, obviously not, there's only one Gretzky, but that one, that Gretzky, that Lemieux, that, you know what I mean? Matthews isn't on that level, but there's definitely, he's definitely going to, okay, I'll make this take. If Austin signs another extension, which he will, he's not going to Arizona. It's not going to happen.
We're debunking that right now.
Yeah, it's not happening. He's not going to play in front of 3,500 people on a team that is stripped to the bare bones, which deservedly so. They're doing the right thing there, like in terms of that. I mean, the whole management situation with the arena and if they're even going to play in, if they're going to play in the college arena.
They are going to play.
Yeah, they know they are. But I'm thinking, what's the Tempe?
Tempe is where they're currently building an arena, but it won't be ready for like 2 years.
No, they're not building it.
Oh.
No. You're thinking of they have to reconstruct the college building. I can't remember. I think it's ASU, Arizona okay. State University. They're rebuilding that because it's not technically fit to the NHL requirements.
Yeah.
Like the locker rooms and stuff. So that's, it's actually a 5,000 seat stadium.
Yeah, but
and you can only see 3,500 with the adjustments to the locker room and everything.
But I thought there is an arena that they're going for.
They're trying to. I don't think there's a shovel in the ground. They're trying to.
Oh.
And they I think they want most of it publicly funded. And
ESPN article, they're already in debt. They're negotiating it.
Yeah. Oh. They're trying to. And if they get one in Tempe, they're in good shape. But the problem is they want most of it, I'm sure, because they're broke.
Yeah.
They're in debt. They probably want most of it to be publicly funded. Mm-hmm. Right? And you're already not on good terms with one former employee in Gila River Arena, like that, or that employer already, because you didn't pay your bills on time. Yikes. So they're kicking you out. So is the city really going to go for publicly fund? I don't know.
It's hard to sell now because they're such a bad team.
Yeah.
But like the sell, okay, to my understanding, Tempe is like the center of Arizona. It's like they're like the equivalent of downtown Toronto.
It's a great spot. Supposed to be like, it's, if they can get it there, it's a great spot. But I've heard really good things about it, but can they get it there? Yeah.
If the team was like where they were a couple, like with like Shane Doan type, like you're making the playoffs, it's easy to sell to them.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of hard.
You know, Clayton Keller. And then maybe you can say Connor Bedard or.
Connor Bedard, do not go to Arizona. He deserves a big franchise.
But yeah, we were talking about Matthews 50 and we got on this.
I don't know.
But okay, the point I was trying to get to was if Austin signed a contract extension, which he will. He is staying. He's not going anywhere. The Leafs will give him a blank check, deservedly so.
As he got the first time.
Yeah, write what you want to write. He will be the greatest Leaf in franchise, like the greatest player in franchise history. If he signs that one more contract extension, he'll get like another 5-6 years probably off of it. He'll be, 28 by the end of this one?
Yeah, he's probably going to sign a shorter term, like 5, because he gets more money.
That's fine. He'll be here for 10 years. He will be the greatest Leaf. You win a cup, it's guaranteed. Not even a question, undisputed. But even without a cup, I think just look at pure stats, pure performance, he'll be that.
Yeah, the problem is a lot of the other Leafs who could be in contention didn't play here in theory as long as he could.
Yeah.
Like a lot of them left in bad blood, like Sittler, like he got traded when they traded his best friend away. Keon, same thing. He had bad blood with the franchise for decades until recently when he kind of like, he's like, okay, fine, I'll come to the 100th year anniversary. Yeah. He's former captain, but
yeah, because they were on bad terms with like the alumni.
Yeah,
but then they kind of turned that all over as the management turned over. They got on good terms.
Yeah, because the old management was on bad terms with them. What are they going to be now, in with the new people?
It's just like Ottawa now. Yeah. All those alumni. I mean, that's a separate thing with Eugene Melnyk. No, rest in peace, Eugene Melnyk. That's a separate story. But they were on bad terms. Like a lot of those guys. Like I don't think Alfredson. A bunch of those guys, I don't think they're on good terms.
Spezza?
Well, Spezza's still playing, so they're not really looking at him. But I'm just saying, like, in general, like, those guys, apparently, they're not, like, they don't really want, I don't know if they've even really been invited to go back. You know how, the alumni now, like, the Leafs alumni, they're always kind of around, if you know what I mean?
Commercials.
And yeah. And even, like, the arena, they get invited to stuff. Apparently, they're not on. I mean, that might change. We don't know what's going to happen with the Sens management now.
Or ownership.
Or, yeah, that's what I mean, with the ownership. But that could change.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. So I'm just, I want to pull up a list of top, the franchise's top goal scorers, like, all time.
It's points, though.
Yeah, I know. I got to filter it by goals. Okay. Did they update it? I assume this is updated.
You can click them and see how many goals he has.
This is, I'm assuming this is probably updated. What is this? I don't even know.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Oh, it is? Okay. So, Austin Matthews is already the 10th highest goal scorer, like all-time goal scorer in franchise history with 250. If he signs another contract extension, Matt Sundin's at 420. He's first with 420 goals.
Fun fact, Austin has played approximately 400 less games than Matt Sundin.
And he's only like under two, he's like 100 and...
Sorry, maybe more than 400. Like 500.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, not yeah. More than 500, or less than 500. 500 less games than him.
Brother's hitting 500 if he's healthy.
Oh yeah, easy. He'll pass Sundin. That's why I'm saying if he signs one more extension. And then if you look in points, he's probably up there in points too. He's probably not far. Assists. He's 17th.
Wow.
439. He can get another 500 points in... You know what I mean? Like another like 7 seasons. Yeah. He'll do it. Assuming even if he just signs that one contract extension, he's got a really good shot. He'll probably do it. Let's be honest.
I do wonder how biased we are because like obviously we grew up with Austin Matthews. We watched him get drafted. So like to us, if he does this type of stuff and he continues, easily best leave ever. If he gets a cup, buddy, I'll tell him my eyes closed.
Yeah.
But like I know my uncle and my dad, like a lot of them will say Daryl Sittler is the best leave ever.
Yeah. But I think because those 90s team, like that 90s team really had heart too. Like, you know what I mean? Like they got to that, they got screwed over in that Gretzky non-call. But like, it's just like we didn't grow up in that era, right? Hard. So it's different. Like for, and I guess they're technically less biased because they've seen both.
Yeah.
They've seen both. So if there's one to judge, it's them more so than us. But like, how do you deny the guy? Like, and that's especially, this is in, okay, Sundin had a disadvantage because he played in the dead puck era as well. That's one thing.
Like, plus, he played more games. He only played 900 for the Leafs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He played in Quebec before.
Yeah. And then Vancouver after. Yeah. So
noted Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, God. But, yeah, no, I think Austin will go down. Just that one extension. I think we could start talking about it.
Yeah.
You could honestly make a case for it. In, like, obviously not if... He retired today. That's not what I'm saying. But you can make a case for it now. Like, that's what we're doing right now. Like, that if everything... Like, what's... Let me see his goals per game right now. If I check his goals per game...
Oh, my God.
He's at 250 and 397. 250 and 397. He's at 0.629 goals per game. His career. Remember, 629. And then Sundin has 420 in 981. 4.428 goals per game. Austin is on – only if he just plays like 800, he'll pass him, I think.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like. Plus, maybe the math is wrong.
Beginning of his career, Matthews was very streaky.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I remember when he went on like a big drought in like his second year. He also got hurt too.
He's healthy. He's rounded out his game really well. Now he knows how to score. He doesn't just score off your shot. He scores off every way.
Isn't he top 10 in points? I'm pretty sure he's top 10 in points.
Top 5?
Yeah. I don't think he's that far behind McDavid.
No, he is. He's in like 85.
Oh, now he is.
McDavid's like 100.
A couple weeks ago, he was like 5 or 6 points back.
Yeah. McDavid and Draisaitl all tend to do that.
Yeah, now they're just... Because now they're playing well again. But not... They weren't on like the ridiculous pace they were like a couple... Or a few months ago, but... He's 5? Okay, yeah, he's, I don't know. He's 17 points back now.
But, okay, let's see. This year, so he gets a rocket. He gets a heart. And then sometimes.
Oh, he's definitely the heart candidate.
He's a heart candidate.
He may win, I'm not sure.
So he gets a heart, he gets another rocket, and then eventually he gets a cups, let's see.
Okay.
He gets everything.
That's a big if.
Okay, well, he's going to get 2 out of 3 at least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he'll probably win the rocket. He'll score 60 this year. He's on pace. He'll definitely do it. Unless he gets hurt, he'll do it.
9 goals in, like, 13 games? It's possible.
9 goals in, for him?
I know, but they're playing good teams. They're playing Florida a couple more times, Tampa a couple more times.
More reason to step up.
I guess.
But, no, I think he'll definitely hit 100 points.
Oh, yeah.
He'll hit 100. And that, for him, that's impressive.
Like, yeah, really impressive.
a couple of years ago, Marner got, I think, 93, 2 years ago. And they said he had, like, it was the first time anyone's got a plus over 90. I wonder when the last time someone's got 100 was.
Leaf?
Yeah. Long time ago.
I'm trying to try and find it. Toronto.
Try, but it's been a while.
100-point scores. Is that going to pop
up? Marner's up here, too. Hey, look at this.
Who?
Marner's up here in this top 22.
Oh, I know. There you go. So last one, so no, this is the highest. So if I wanted to do it by, can I do it by like recent? I've never used, oh, this is Hockey Reference. I know how to use Hockey Reference. See? 92, 93, Marner.
That's assists.
Oh, wait, what am I, oh, I gotta look at points. Oops. I was gonna say, what? Marner? Wait, what? The most recent was, no, it was Gilmore.
There you go, 94. 93,
94.
While
it's been a while. Think about like after 95, they had that run in like the early 2000s, and then just straight garbage,
hot garbage,
straight garbage for like, we don't count 2013. That team was not,
that was random.
It was, you, if you look back on that roster, it's actually
quite average.
How did they even make the playoffs?
Well, they barely made it.
I know. And that was in a shortened season too. There wasn't enough time for all the wheels to come off the train. Yeah, there wasn't enough time for them to come off the tracks. That's what it was. Because in the next year, they were in a playoff spot like a month and a half or 2 months left, and they just fell down a cliff.
Yikes.
It was just brutal. Yeah, Austin Matthews, greatest Toronto Maple Leaf possible. Yeah. So do you wanna move on?
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about the big bad Bruins.
Oh, God. We're a little late on this, but we only record on Monday, so yeah, nothing else we could do. We're going to go back 1 week, last Tuesday? That was last Tuesday. It was last Tuesday, yeah.
It's a very random Tuesday game, very intense Tuesday game.
Random, it's never a random Tuesday game against the Bruins in TD Garden.
It was a randomly intense game. You don't expect an intense night game.
I actually enjoyed it so much. It was such a good game. Like, even though it was 6-2, it was just – it didn't – that game – No, I'm saying eventually at one point it was 6.
Oh, yes.
Wait, yeah, it was 6-2 at one point.
Or yeah, 6-4. Then they scored 2 at the end.
Yeah, no, yeah, because it ended up being 6-4. But even though the game kind of got out of hand, like from a score perspective, the game did not feel over. That could be my inner Leafs fan going, this game's not over. It's only a 4-goal lead. What if they blow a 4? What if they blow a 5-goal lead? But like that game just the way that the amount of intensity that was being played, it did not.
It just felt like it was a trap game.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Leafs lost 2 defensemen. They're down to 4 defensemen. Their guys are playing a lot. Even Keefe said after the game, he's like, I was thinking about playing a forward on defense. And he's
put
like,
Mitch there, honestly. What? Put Mitch there. Or Austin. Yeah. Or one of them. But
he's like, luckily it didn't come to that.
Yeah.
And, but look, they allowed 2 goals. They only had 4 defensemen. Boston would take a push near the end. I wasn't too worried. I don't know. I'm just like extremely confident for no reason, but
I wasn't fine. Like they're gonna blow this. It was just kind of like the way the game was being played. It wasn't kind of like, you know, when teams get down, they just kind of roll over and it's like, okay, let's just pack it in, next, just focus on next game, just kind of get this, because they were down 6-2 going into the third. No,
yeah,
and it just kind of felt like this game isn't over. Like Charlie McAvoy was throwing some hits, man. He was throwing the body. They were all clean. But, like, Chubby. He was – in a third-period game where you're down by, like, 4, it was like, wow. Like, it did not – it felt like a playoff game.
Yeah, so, which is good. We got to win those.
Like usual, game got out of hand from a ref's – not a ref's for a second – from a aggression and
– Refs didn't manage refs it very well. Refs
didn't manage a game at all. What's new with – it's just something you got to get used to. But like usual, game got out of hand. And Taylor Hall threw a little sucker punch. I mean, to be fair, the Lyubushkin hit was not clean. Okay. I don't... was because Hall was falling, no? Or he turned? Yeah. It was a bad hit. It was not a good hit.
It wasn't good.
No, the way he went into the boards was very awkward. It was not a good hit. So I have it up. We're moving forward here. We have on the TV. I'm just gonna play it real quick. Let it loop. This angle's bad. Right now we're looking at the side angle. If you look at the angle from behind, I can try and pull up the angle from behind. I think it's like, yeah, it's right here. yeah, that hit was not a clean, not a good hit. And from the behind, it doesn't look like a bad punch. Like, it doesn't look like Hall gets him, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but still, like, he gets him
hard. And Lubushkin goes down, and it just covers his head. Trainers come out, whatever. You think he's like, okay, he's just down for a second. He's just trying to protect himself, trying to turtle himself, right? But it's just, you look at the side angle, and it's bad. He catches him flush in the face.
Simple. Can't hit people in the
look
head.
Look at that. And you think, and you may not think it looks like, people think Lubushkin flopped. People think that he tried to sell it.
Well, first he punched him in the face, and then he threw him on the floor. Yeah. I don't know how you flop.
People think that he went down easy, like too easy. And it's like, the guy now is concussed.
What did Jack Edwards say?
He is concussed.
I was listening to the Boston stream.
Oh, God. I still don't know how you do it. I cannot listen to it.
It's just one of the options.
I cannot listen to it. Yeah, but of course, to no one's surprise, Taylor Hall got a $5,000 fine and no suspension. What's new? You hit
precedent.
A guy in the face, you punt, you sucker punch him with your gloves on, you assault a man, and no call. They call a penalty on it? I think Hall did get a...
I think he got a minor.
He did, yeah. Which is fine. You're supposed to get... That's the right call.
Let's just review.
But why did this happen?
Why? Retaliation?
Yes. But why did it get to this point? Because this is the end of the second, no?
Oh, because they don't know how to manage the game?
Exactly. Refs let it get to... It's disgusting. Yeah, you can't let it get to this point. And it does every single time. Because why? Because the same thing happens every single time. They were supposed to do that AMA. That Reddit?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Asking anything? Yeah, they postponed it. Why? Probably because of this.
Maybe.
Because they don't want to face it. Because Leafs fans are probably going to storm the Reddit. And absolutely...
Everybody's going to storm the Reddit.
Just storm it. Especially right after this.
Yeah.
They're going to storm it and probably try and just... bad things would be said. Maybe it wasn't the worst thing. It got postponed. But they got to answer. They got to have some answer. Like Peros, George Peros, and Gary Bettman. Like, I'm not saying this incident alone. I'm just saying it's so inconsistent in general. Just the looking at the broad spectrum, especially this year. What is a suspension? What warrants a certain amount of games? And what doesn't? Because it's very confusing. Like, the Larkin, was it the Matthew Joseph hit on, or the punch on Larkin?
Let's just review. There's two comparisons. Number one is Matthews, who cross-checked Dahlin in the head, which is a cross-check. Obviously worse, he got two games. That's fine.
In the neck. That was the right.
Yeah, I didn't like it, but whatever. So now we go back to the Larkin hit early in the year. Larkin did the exact same thing as Hall. He punched Matthew Joseph in the face.
Yeah.
He got a game. And he got a match penalty, meaning not a 10 minute, a match penalty out of the game, which they don't use that often.
Yeah.
And so why did Larkin do the same thing as Hall and get a match penalty plus a one game, and Hall gets a minor penalty for 2 minutes and only gets a $5,000 fine?
I always look back and go, okay, the guy got a match penalty that'll come off some of his suspension because he served the game or like half a game when I don't know what time exactly that happened in the game with the hit on the punch on Matthew Joseph, but. It's just there's no consistency,
nope.
And I don't think there ever will be. This is a sport where you can physically punch people and assault people, which that's like in terms of you can drop your gloves and fight a grown man and you get to sit in a box for 5 minutes and then you get to go play and make millions of dollars again. That's in the sport. That's trying to be phased out of the sport. That's. You know what I mean? At least it's regulated a little bit by the refs. If it gets too far, they'll break it up.
This is a slap on
but
the wrist.
But this is... You mean they're handing him a slap on the wrist?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course they are. And it's just... You got to set some kind of precedent. Like, how do you show players... This is basically showing all players, yeah, you know, you can sucker punch a guy, hit him in the face, concuss him. Don't worry, just $5,000. You know, Taylor Hall, you're a multimillionaire. Can we take $5,000 from you and give you a 2 minute penalty for sucker punching a guy that just nasty hit into the boards? He'll take that.
Sure.
Of course he will. Any player in the league will do that. No problem. So when it comes to around playoff time, they're even less strict when it comes to this stuff around playoff time, obviously. We all know that. So what does that send? What kind of message does that send come playoff time, too?
This was a playoff game. That's the way it was called. Same with the one the Leafs played against the Jets. playoff game.
Oh yeah,
these were both so many bad promising ones. Stuff. But either way, this is the way it's gonna be called. It's not right, but it's the way it is.
And it's like, I'm surprised the NHLPA doesn't get in this.
How?
Like.
For Labushkin, you mean?
No, I just mean in general. Like, don't you, if you're the Players Association, don't you want to protect those same players?
Then they have to take sides.
Yeah.
Hall's going to say the Players Association is supposed to protect me, is taking Labushkin's side? Not right.
It also is, we want more suspension. That means more game check, more money off, more less game checks, forfeited hundreds of thousands of dollars between all the suspensions, and then you want that raised. That's less money in their pockets too.
It's probably an off-season conversation for the playoffs. For the Players Association, at least to talk to the NHL player safety. But now it's too late. They can't say anything in the middle of the year.
No. This is an off-season thing.
Bookmark this and say throw it back.
The GMs meetings, did they not talk about? They talked about it. No, or not? Just not this in like specifically, but officiating.
Who?
The Florida meetings, the GM meetings.
Oh, yes. They talked about various things.
They did, yeah. They spoke about it. I don't know. You know, that's a closed-door meeting. We don't know. I don't think it got very far. But something has to change. It's just kind of ridiculous. Like, we're not asking for, like, a five-game suspension. That's not what it, and I'm pretty sure, doesn't Taylor Hall have a background, too, or a history? Pretty sure he does.
What did he do?
There's something. I think I heard.
Yeah, he's a little sneaky. One of those sneaky players.
I'm pretty sure there's something.
Kind of just pretends he's good and just goes along his business.
Especially if there's, it might not, it's not a huge history. Yeah, 2-game suspension in 2013. Okay, they might not look back that far. Fined, not suspended.
I think it's like after 5 years, they wipe it clean.
Yeah, it's something weird like that. Except if your name's like Nazem Kadri, then you just kind of.
Well, it does it every year.
Yeah, that's true. But, just to be clear, I do not warrant Kadri's actions. he should get suspended for what he does. I'm just saying, like, I'm pretty sure they use stuff. I think it's, like, 18 months. Yeah. But then, when it comes to him, they still give him big suspension come playoff time. And
I got a good feeling about Kadri.
You know what?
He's not going to do it this year.
Yeah, well, now he's hurt. But apparently he's going to play. But, yeah, well, he better. Especially with they need him now. They need him. Like, okay, obviously they need him last year, but now they need him more than ever with the production he's putting up. They need that extra guy, that second line.
He's putting up first line production on the second line.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, I was going to say they get equal minutes, but they definitely don't. No. That big three.
He just gets the power play.
Yeah, that's a big bonus. But this year they really need him, especially when it's a real make or break year. This is the... We say this every year, but you have to. With Colorado, it's like, you're going to do it? Like, it's time. Let's go. Like, what are you waiting for? You got to do something.
Especially after this year, they're financially done.
Yeah.
They have to resign a bunch of people, including him. So.
Yeah, I know. Kadri's gone. He's not.
Oh, I know.
He's not staying.
He's going to like 8.5 to 9 somewhere else and run and chill.
I heard Montreal has interest, which would be kind of funny.
Why?
I'd actually love that.
Why?
If they sign him for $9 million and they give him like 5 years, I don't know how much term he wants. He definitely wants term.
Like all the GMs should just meet and say, let's not mess this one up, guys. This is Nazem Kadri, a career 60-point player.
No.
This is clearly an above-average season for him. Let's not overpay him.
No. You know what? They're going to come together and say, guys, how much can we overpay? No. To them, it's not overpaying. Say, guys, Nazem definitely deserves $9.5 million, $10 million. Who wants to be the one to do it? You're going to get... 100%. No, I'm just obviously I'm joking. They're not actually gonna do that.
Whoa.
I'm saying they'll do the opposite of what you want.
I know.
There's gonna be teams lining up, and I want Nazem Kadri on my team, but for that kind of money, it's just not. And if he goes to Montreal, you're not gonna produce like that. He'll put up 60 points. He's been consistently 50, 60 points, but you take him out of that Colorado offense, and it'll drop.
Although put him with Caulfield and Suzuki. Power play, it'll be fine.
Yeah, but
he's not gonna put up this, but it'll be fine.
He'll put up 60. But like, the only way he has a chance of sustaining this is staying in Colorado. Unless he decides to go to like Florida or something, but they can't afford him, not that I know of.
Okay, his name is Jeff Skinner, guys. This is the same thing.
Oh yeah. Okay, well maybe not as bad as Jeff Skinner, but pretty close.
No, Jeff Skinner. He won the Calder. He looked like a promising player. Scored 40. about $9 million, probably an over. Sometimes they pay for potential. Jack Hughes just did it, signing the offseason for
$8 million. That looks like a great deal.
That is a steal now.
It looks like a great deal. Especially if they put something around him, like literally anything. Like, Heischer's been good. He's been good. But you need more. Dougie is not panned out.
Luke Hughes is going to help.
Panned out, really, but
Luke Hughes is going to be massive. But I don't know if he's going to take the extra year. Don't they play? Usually these defensemen seem to be taking 2 years, right?
If I'm them, I don't even. What's the point?
I don't think
unless
they
know. This offseason your goals change. Like every single year, they always try to go, okay, guys, we got it this year. Let's go for it. Let's sign Dougie Hamilton. Guys, let's trade for PK Subban. It just doesn't work out.
Well, they're going to free up $9 million. Subban's done. Mm-hmm. But then like they just signed Dougie to $9 million. So you just, I don't know.
See, but Dougie still has hope if you put more around him. Look how he produces in Carolina because look at the team around him. Like, he's not producing this year. Some of that is probably on him. But a lot of that is also on he needs production around him, too.
He got walked by Marner. Oh, I was quite laughing because Marner walked him twice.
Yeah, he got hurt this year. Just, it can kind of be a reset year for him. Like, next year, kind of wipe the slate clean and just kind of restart. But if you're them this offseason, like, if you're Jersey, I think you leave Luke Hughes down. What are you going to send him up for?
Well, I think he may take 2 years. Like, Makar took 2 years.
Yeah,
his brother took 2 years.
Maybe, you know what you do? Next year, just like Quinn did. Come up the end. Exactly. Give him like 6-7 games. Give him some experience just so he gets a little head start. Just like Makar, I think Makar did too, right?
He came in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Just give him 6-7-8 games. Get him just so he has a little head start for the year after.
Yeah.
He knows a little bit of what to expect. He just has like a little taste. Yeah. That's the right thing to do. Because unless your goal, like your aspirations completely changes offseason and you make another big move and you really, really think you got a shot. Like, not with the feeling you've had the past 2-3 seasons. I mean, like, actual splash. And that doesn't mean signing Nazem Kadri to $9.5 million.
Please don't.
Yeah, that does not include that. You need something or else. Oh, it's just so bad in Jersey.
Although, it is worth to mention, I do follow University of Michigan and, like, they post all their highlights and when they're playing stuff. I watch their 9-minute summary like game clip sometimes. Hughes is probably NHL ready.
Yeah, he is NHL ready. Yeah,
he's probably easily is. Maybe he just wants to get like more refining next year.
Yeah, exactly.
The way kind of Owen Power did this year. He took the extra year. I don't think Owen Power is gonna do 2 years. He's just doing the one. He's going to Buffalo next year.
Yeah, but he's like another level. Power, and plus in Buffalo it looks a little promising. Like they haven't been. Obviously they've been good. Bad, but like. To what they are, like what everyone thought they would be, they got pieces. They got Tage Thompson. Rasmus Asplund's been okay. Like Rasmus Asplund. He's been okay.
Krebs.
Yeah,
they
got something to build on. You're getting another pick this year. Like there's not a light at the end of the tunnel because we've seen a lot with the Sabres, but there's something to build off of. In Jersey, there is Jack Hughes to build off of.
Yeah,
which is a great first piece. He sure's a good little piece. But other than that, you have no goaltending right now because Blackwood's been hurt most of the year, but the defense is
a travesty.
Yeah, it's just
Nico Dawes has looked okay sometimes. Mm. Looks like he's promised. He's only 22.
But I could see them be like, yeah, Luke, you want to play with Damon Severson? He will have to be the most responsible 19, 20 year old coming up in the league because
Luke pinches. He went coast to coast a little while ago. He's a back and forth defenseman. He knows how to play just responsibly. He's bigger than his brother. And they said he's more of like he's a two-way defenseman. Yeah. But he's going to go. When you need someone responsible, Damon Severson is not going to work.
It's just, how the hell did we get here?
Jersey?
Yeah, I just won't even
know. Oh, I don't know. It's okay. We talked about everything we wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good episode. I think,
Call it.
Yeah, Austin's hitting 60. That's what we get from this. Austin's hitting 60. And the NHL doesn't know how to officiate or manage players, but you already knew that. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, we just like to articulate it again.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. So from another week, that'll it. Our last episode is next. Is that our last episode?
A week or two, yeah.
It might be next week.
Yeah.
It's been a fun season so far, or a fun season, quote unquote, podcast season, not NHL season. That'll wrap up this week's show, and see you next week.